That's what last week we were just beginning to discuss how the Malach of Tisha plays out in terms of Shechitas Peros. It tells us at the very end of Masechta Shabbos that squeezing fruit may potentially be a Malach of Deraisa and may fall under the category of Tisha, but not necessarily on the level of Deraisa. Sometimes squeezing fruit is also in the Torah, sometimes squeezing fruit is also in the Rabbanan, and sometimes squeezing fruit is more to Lachadila. What are the rules? The Gemara divides up all fruit to the world into three categories. There are the Zeis and the Anovim, the grapes and the olives. That's in the worst case scenario, that's the Deraisa. And the other extreme, you have what's called shaperas, other kinds of fruits, which are only, which are not even midirabon, which are mutlaka free. And then you have the middle category, which is classified as tusim rimon, and berries, and pomegranates, which fall smack in the middle, which are only also midirabon. What does all this depend upon? Where did any of these rules come from? So it seems from the Gemara that the basic criteria all revolve around the notion of what's normal. The zeisav yadavlon, that's the highlight, that's the normal way of squeezing zeisim only for cup of olive oil, grapes only for cup of wine. So that's the ultimate malach of the araisa. Something which nobody squeezes, that's a mutlach hatchila, that's a kalachayah, that's a crazy way of doing things, that's totally permissible. Then you have these two simrimonim, that some people do squeeze, some people don't squeeze. It's common to squeeze, not always to squeeze, and therefore they're prohibited in their abundance. So even though we have these three categories, we just barely start to scratch the surface just in terms of just really concretizing what exactly the rules are and how this plays out for us of the Maisa. So if I'm not mistaken, I think we ended up the shilas with the lemon shayla. I think that was the last clue that we raised about how does this play out practically speaking. So there is a tshuva of the Rosh, where the Rosh writes that to squeeze lemons is mutlach hatchila, because I'm sure to be squeezing lemons, and what the world squeezes lemons. I don't know when the Rush wrote this, but he wrote this true when he lived in Germany, lived in Spain. The Rush had to run away for his life from Germany, spend the end of his life in Spain. If he lived in Spain, he probably saw lemons. If he lived in the cold northern Germany, I don't know how many lemons there were up to where the Rush came from. But wherever it was, the Rush writes that squeezing lemons is not all that common, and therefore it's mutter to squeeze lemons on Shabbos, mutter chetchila to squeeze lemons on Shabbos. And interestingly enough, that's exactly what Shmuel says. He says in his Aloshin, he says, "Mutl lischot lamed yud mem vav nun." He doesn't know what it is. Mutl lischot limon. So if you like to squeeze lemons, mechetchila. So notwithstanding what the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Rush, he himself in the Beis Yosef raises a red flag in the Beis Yosef. So the Beis Yosef says, maybe these facts have changed. Maybe the Pesach of the Rosh is no longer applicable, at least in the communities that the Beis Yosef lives in a very warm climate. He was born in Spain. He had, it's hard to say the privilege, but he had, unfortunately, the situation that he was born in Spain in the year 1488, which wasn't a great time for a Jewish boy to be born in Spain, because at the age of four, so his parents and his family were kicked out of Spain. And he found his way to Turkey, and then eventually found his way to Tzfat, eventually to Eretz Israel. So the Beis Yosef lives in countries where lemon was a little bit more popular. So he raised the question. He says, wait a second. He said, can we really forbid the squeezing of lemons? And he quotes that in Egypt, he didn't live in Egypt, but I guess, you know, he said Egypt was a multi-million-dollar lemon squeezing industry. And he says, everybody knows that it's common in hot countries that you make the following kind of a drink. And he not much described, he gives you the recipe. He says, you squeeze out lemons, and you mix it with water, and you put in sugar. A little lemonade stand with 5 cents per liter. I don't know what the currency was in Istanbul in the early 1500s. But he says that people make lemons. People squeeze them. They make what we call lemonade. So happy to turn around and say that squeezing lemons is permissible. It's clear from the Gemara that even if the place that you live in, people don't tend to squeeze that fruit, but if there's a really normal place to squeeze, it's considered to be a normal thing, and in certain locations, they do squeeze it, and it places the odds on that if you lived in those warm climates, you would also squeeze it, so it's not that the guy's crazy. When it came to squeezing like prunes, we said last week, they're actually called squeezing prunes, I'm not sure that no one in a million years ever squeezed a prune, so squeezing a prune is crazy, that's what they're called. Lemons? He says it's a very normal to squeeze lemons. They do it in hot climates, and maybe it should be a problem for everybody. So the Beis tries to defend the original practice, the original psak of the Rosh, that's what they squeeze lemons, even with manazet. The Beis writes that even though it's true that people squeeze lemons, but nobody drinks lemon juice plain. It's not like squeezing pomegranates. I like squeezing berries. I like squeezing grapes, olives. I like squeezing things that people squeeze to drink by themselves. Since lemon juice is not the most tastiest thing, it's mixed with sugar, one of the things. So maybe that's not really called tzchita. Maybe that's not considered to be mashke. So that's one suggestion that the Beis Yosef gives. So even if the mitzvah is the facts of people squeezing lemons, then nobody's drinking pure lemon juice. Then the Beis Yosef gives another option. He says that maybe that it's not so much a function of are they drinking it together with other things, that you don't even squeeze lemons in a cup by itself. The way the making of the lemonade used to be is you would squeeze the lemons directly into the water. So the lemons never really existed by themselves. So since the lemon juice was always squeezed directly into the water, maybe that's not considered to be so much as a mashke b'fnei atzmo. Says the Beis Yosef, what if the din would be, what if the facts would be that people would squeeze lemons directly into a cup, and then later they would mix it at some later point, so maybe the lemon juice would be called the mashke, maybe that would be a problem. So the Beis Yosef is not sure what the nuance to be matter is. Is the nuance to be matter the lemons based on the fact that it's never going to be drank by itself? Or is the nuance to be matter it is that it's never going to be collected by itself? Might not be enough. A huge enough to be. It's a tremendous enough to be. For me, it's not as that. As a matter of that, nobody drinks lemon juice. I mean, most people, you know, should we ask for sure here, and maybe not. People tend not to drink lemon juice by itself. On the other hand, the model that we have, of course the lemon juice is collected by itself. You go to the store, you buy this little plastic lemon juice. Somebody screwed up. $1 billion lemon juice industry. So if you go down the first route of the Beis Yosef, that we can somehow salvage and permit the squeezing of the lemons, because people don't drink the juice by itself, that would be what the Mizman is at. Whereas if the real reason for the Beis Yosef is the second one, that the juice doesn't collect by itself, that would pose a potential problem, even for us. How should we be knowing on this? What should that practice be? So the Shulchan Aruch is made. The Shulchan Aruch written by the Beis Yosef just writes, put the list of Limos Mizman is at. We can't really tell which reason is the reason that he's after it. So the Mishnah Berurah is machmir the Shabbos. The Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Chaim Yodom, who says that the Chaim Yodom already lived in Danzig, they lived in Poland 5 years later. So the Chaim Yodom writes that one should not be squeezing lemons on Shabbos. So we consider this to be a very serious problem, to squeeze lemons on Shabbos, because it's normal to squeeze lemons. He describes there's an industry of lemon juice squeezing that existed in the days of the Chaim Yodom, how much more so is man is them. Therefore, one should not be squeezing lemons. That's the Pesach of the Mishnah Berurah. And that's the standard of Pesach that we follow this man of death. But about the Yosei, well, there were Mekilim, again, there was Mekilim, that's what we told you the other day in the Beis Yosef, but again, within our communities, for sure within Ashkenazi communities, so under no circumstances should one be squeezing lemons on Shabbos, or for that matter on Yom Tov. Yom Tov and Shabbos are the same in terms of this. Chita is not one of the malachas that's permissible on Yom Tov, so therefore one should not be squeezing lemons on either Shabbos and Yom Tov. There may be certain limited circumstances that squeezing lemons may be mutter, we'll have to talk about that, when you squeeze it directly onto food, or into a piece of fish, or salad, or things like that. That's still part of an up-and-coming circuit, but just fundamentally, just to squeeze lemon just like that, that would pose a serious problem. We mentioned last week another...
We're going to talk
as we go on. So there, we spoke last week a little about another possible issue of Sita, and we spoke a little bit about the pickles. So, if anyone's interested, we'll get some expertise later about some sort of pickle making, but the Gemara speaks about the possibility of squeezing out pickle juice, and the Gemara quotes an achloikis about this, and there's one opinion of the Gemara that says yechayah. Yechayah is always a code word for being an issa d'oraisa. So this is a very, very startling statement. How can the Gemara quote an opinion that says chayah? After all, we just got finished saying that only zeitz and menachim, only grapes and olives are d'oraisa. How can anyone dream that pickle juice could be a d'oraisa? There are different opinions in the Rishonim. So some Rishonim say, Yitaka right, you can't drink from being there, I said, that's not enough. Some Rishonim say, for the fact that we paskin that Eino Chayim Elo Azeisim Ve'anav Mubad, that Lashon of the Gemara, so that precludes the possibility of pickle juice being there, I said. That's squeezing pickles are not there, I said. Other Rishonim say, it's not true. Other Rishonim say that pickles may be worse than other kinds of fruit. What's going to make it worse? We touched a little bit on this list. We're going to have to set the stage for some important Lamais applications now. So there were some Rishonim who say that pickle juice is worse than other kinds of fruit. Why is that? So some Rishonim say because the pickle juice, the pickle juice already existed as a liquid before it went into the pickle. So it already had a shei mashka on it. So now I'm separating a mashka from an ochel. When you have a fruit, let's say you have a fruit that's not so common to squeeze, so it never had a shei mashke in the first place, so therefore it's permissible b'netzer. But if you have something that had a shei mashke b'tchila, that's more problematic. Other poskim say no, a whole other ballgame. Other poskim say, you know, you want to know why pickles are worse, because pickles are very, very normal to squeeze. Okay, I'm not going to argue the Matzias right now. Pickles are very, very normal to squeeze. But the Gemara says, Einu chayv el ala zeisim anav muvad. So says the chayyot, it doesn't really mean ela. You know what it meant? Muvad. Muvad doesn't mean muvad, muvad, muvad. Muvad means anything that's similar in nature to zeisim anav. what is the demarcated feature of Zaysim and Novim? That it's very, very normal. So the answer to the question now, what's the Raisi, what's the Ravana, what's Mutter? The answer is as follows. Very, very simple Hagdaras. If it's very, very normal, it's the Raisa. If it's very normal, it's the Ravana. If it's abnormal, then it's Mutter L'Chila. So there is no absolute chayf l'yavar that you only chayf as Zaysim and Novim, nothing else. Anything and everything that's normal, that's dark of God, it's really, really in the normal society, that could potentially become a street of the Araisa. So quite this chayadam, the world just turned upside down. We had this mindset when we were learning this malacha that, come on, who here is making olive oil jobs? Who here is making wine on jobs? I'm sure, what are we doing? Squeeze a lemon, squeeze a fruit, squeeze a this, squeeze a pickle. Ah, come on, now this is really their eyes. Huh? So come a group of postmen say, not so fast. And from the fact that we may turn around and say, the pickles are their eyes, huh? Because they're so normal, anything and everything that meets that criteria may become all of a sudden a walk of their eyes. Do we have any precedent for this idea that also we're changing all the rules? That we thought that we had very, very specific objective halachic categories of Zaysim and Novim, and now we just concluded that's not true, that those are just merely examples, illustrations of normalcy. So you may have almost an identical concept that appears in Nuchas Brachas as well. There is a famous question that the Rishonim posed in Nuchas Brachas that's going to impact on Nuchas Shabbos. The Rishonim discussed two Gemaras in the Sechas Brachas in the sixth parak about whether one makes what bracha one makes in liquids that is derived from a certain kind of a solid food. So I take a solid food and turn it into a liquid. So what bracha do I make? Does it retain the original bracha, or does the bracha go all the way down to a shahakal? So there's an outright contradiction between two gemaras. One gemara says, if you take fruit and you squeeze the fruit and you make it into a juice, the gemara says, make shahakal. The gemara says that it's considered to be like the sweat of the fruit, it's not really the fruit itself. And the only kinds of liquids that retain the original bracha, and even go up in bracha, that's grapes and olives. Very, very similar to what the Gemara says in the Sefer Shabbos. Grapes, the bracha, not only doesn't go down, it goes up, the bracha goes up. And olive oil, so the correct bracha and olive oil, as we've said many, many times in the shul, the correct bracha and olive oil is a Boer Priya Eitz. Now, the Gemara says the reason why that's normally not relevant is because sugar is only mishugoyim drink olive oil by themselves. So you wouldn't make that bracha if you drink an olive oil by yourself. But if you would put olive oil into something, the olive oil would be the yikar. Most of the time for us it's not the yikar. Most of the time it's a salad dressing or something. But if the mzlom, you would have some kind of a delicious concoction that the olive oil would be the yikar, then the bracha would be a borer priya eitz. Now, the reason why I say we spoke about this multiple times in shul, because that was my downfall in the brachas in fifth grade, because I didn't know that piece of information, that there was a very unique question that was posed to me about the certain bracha on a food that was made with olive oil and something. I had absolutely no idea what that food was. It used to be a problem with the brachas, that they would say these ridiculous foods that the kids had no idea what they were. Once they took this off for, this would not fly over today's world of, political corrections. But years ago, they one time asked the bracha, what bracha do you make on an albino? Because the Mishal Abrias, that says, you can probably see an albino. So the kid had no idea what an albino was, so the kid said, you make a bar per eight. So there was never ever such a question. So they asked me some ridiculous question about bracha and this and that, and I had absolutely no idea what the answer was, and I lost. So the kid who won from a different class of yeshiva, like that, different kind of yeshiva, the kid who won. So he won on some very difficult question, like, well, bracha, you make an apple or something. And that was it. So the only thing that I did get out of this was a year subscription to Olam Eino with the Mendel Lebaus and the whole nine. Okay. Rumor has the Mendel Lebaus, in case anyone's interested, is no longer existing. He was turned into a David the duck because some people complain that it's not appropriate for yeshiva bracha to be reading about the unkosher animals. I kid you not. So, but back in the free Liga Dairus, back in the 1960s, it was okay to read about Mendel Lebaus. Okay, good. So, I didn't say anything. Is the kosher on the Mendel Lebaus?
People do drink olive oil.
Really?
Yeah, supplements.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so we got to go back to the Torah Masorah, go back to figure out what's going on in the 1970s. I don't know. If it would really become normal to drink, that would be a whole other story, maybe.
Well, what's normal? How's normal? How normal is normal?
How normal? Well, the people believe that it's health benefits are normal. I don't know. I'm not questioning your... I have to think about it. If you eat it in the way Chazal described, it becomes a bar mitzvah. Get back that story. So the Gemara says that with the exceptions of the grapes and the olives, all of the juices are just the shachol. But the Gemara says, a little bit later on in case of Baruch, the Gemara says, what if you have vegetable soup? You eat vegetable soup, then the bracha is a borei pri ha'adama. It retains the same bracha. So the Rishon Mabon, well, why should that be? What's the difference between squeezing a fruit and eating a soup? So there are different opinions as to what the answer is. So the Rosh suggests in all the brachas, what the difference is, in one case it's cooked, in one case it's just squeezed. When something is cooked, so then we apply the rule of tam ki'ikur, the rules of your day of kashrus kick in, and the real taste, the evidence of taste of the food goes into the liquid, and the liquid is considered to be the equivalent of the original food, and that's the reason why you make a boy prayer. So, according to that, if you would cook a fruit, you also make a boy prayer. But the Rashba gives a different taste. The Rashba says that the reason why the bracha remains the same when it comes to soups and different when it comes to fruit, so the Rashba writes, those brachas is all a function of what's normal. It's normal to make soups, it's normal to cook vegetables. Only for Shugoyim, squeeze fruit. Rashba says, who squeezes that fruit? He says, you squeeze a grape, you squeeze an almond. You have a beautiful, wonderful fruit to eat. What do you squeeze that fruit for? How do you make a new juice for? Eat the whole fruit. So the Rashba says that when people do things in an abnormal fashion, that's considered the bracha goes down. So that's a big question in the poskim. Which answer do we paskin like? So the Chazanish was a big believer of the Shittas of Rashba. The Chazanish held that the Ikra didn't like the Rashba, and the Chazanish claims that the Rosh also agrees to the Rashba. The Chazanish, the whole Shittas of Rashba is brachas. And therefore, the Chazanish concludes, since we really, really paskin the Rashba, any fruit that now becomes normal to squeeze, the bracha remains in bar breaks. There's no halacha Moshe Messinai that Zaysim Yadavim retain the bracha. The rule is, those are examples of normalcy. As we've said many, many times, normalcy changes. What was normal 100 years ago is not normal now. It's crazy that it's normal now. Says the Chazish, if you live in a location where it's normal to squeeze fruit X to turn into juice, so then the correct bracha of that juice is a bar breaks. This is the famous Psach of the Chazanish. Chazanish moved there to Israel. It's in Bnei Brak. Bnei Brak is not that far from the Jaffa oranges. He says, that's normal. If one squeezes oranges, oranges are normal drink in Eretz Yisrael. So he says the correct bracha on oranges is the berber eitz, the famous psak of the Chazanish. So the truth is that most people probably don't follow that. They do that in Rabbi Shemeshah. So most people don't follow that. So the reason why they don't follow it, Rabbi Moshe writes, is for pure technical reasons in terms of the brachas, because the brachas may have another rule connected to it, that liquids, beverages, never get more than a shahakol. There's a Tosus that says that in the context of beer, Tosus asks, why don't we make a mezonos on beer? Beer has barley in it. So why don't we make a mezonos on it? We make a mezonos on cholent, has barley in it. What's the difference between cholent and beer? So Tosus gives one answer, and he says, well, beer is different than a drink. Drinks a shahakol. So that's what Ramosha writes, that the Chazanish is fundamentally right, that orange juice is really, truly a eitz, but it's not a eitz practically, because it's a drink, and the drinks just can't get anything more than a shahakol. Does mention that Svar Chazanish says that there may be differences between pressing and squeezing. He talks about that, but then as an independent Svar, the Chazanish writes that normal is all that matters. He says if it's normal, it's normal. Doesn't matter how you did it, what you did it. If it's normal, it retains the original bracha. So it could be that fundamentally we accept that idea of the Chazanish that if you retain, if you're doing something in a normal fashion, so then that's important in halacha. So what the Chazanish said about oranges and other brachas now make impact in the Chashams as well. Because really what the Chazanish is writing in Hilchos Brachos is almost identical to what the Chayyotim is writing in Hilchos Shabbos. That when we evaluate whether Schita is in the Araisa or not, we don't really go back to Chazal's days. You have to look around today and see, what is the Olam doing? If people consider this to be a normal way of preparing something, that becomes a potential Araisa. I'm not saying it's a Petorah's Vadeh as a Psaq. I'm saying it's something to be aware of, that when we're dealing with squeezing fruits, as man as that, a lot of fruits is normal to be squeezed. It's hard to find things there. I don't know if there's any case, any kind of a juice out there in the market. Therefore, as man as that, one thing I can say for certain is that we can't be mocked for squeezing anything. You can't say, oh, this is abnormal, no one does, therefore it's mutter. I don't think there's anything out there that's completely so reached the point of being below the bar of normalcy. I don't think anything exists like that, as man as that. So at least everything is also with the Rabbanan, and there may be certain truths that are also deraisa. But therefore, halacha maisa, one should not grapes and olives. Obviously, one's not squeezing. One should not be squeezing lemons b'zman hazeh. One shouldn't be squeezing oranges b'zman hazeh. One shouldn't be any of these fruits. Either as a chashash of deraisa based on that chayot of combined with the chaz mishnah of brachos, or at least with the Rabbanan, it's not going to be better than the two of rimon with the berries and the pomegranates of old. So all squeezing fruits pretty much is off limits there.
This is in the case of that if you want to squeeze the product, right? For instance, if you're if one is official for the salad and just cutting a pickle, the juice that comes out.
Okay, so we didn't even talk about that about the guys eating the grapefruit and banging the grapefruit and spritzing it into the guy's face. Right? That's a whole other ball. We're gonna get there. Don't worry, we got away,
Isn't that a little trail of burr?
Or is it another shot? What's the difference? We have to give it even touch touch it.
Did it make any difference to you whether normal to squeeze it in home versus in the industrial
thing? I don't think so, because the Gemara speaks about the base menashe. Base menashe were apparently selling pomegranate juice. The Gemara says it was normal for them, so now it becomes a problem for me, so I think it's... So this sets the stage for the big bikula that may not exist in terms of schichus peiros, and that's what the Gemara says also in the 27th breakfast of the Shabbos. The Gemara talks about the following potential kula concerning schichus peiros. What if a person squeezes a fruit directly into a food? It's called the mash kabbalas of ochel. So the Gemara quotes a machlokes at Tanoim about this. Is that permissible? What's the shayla? Why should that be mutter? So the Gemara links this to a shayla nuchas tumas ochel. The Gemara says, based on the Pesukim in Parsha Shmini, that either something is a food or something is a beverage. So there are dinim of tumas ochel, there are dinim of tumas mashkin, and there are different halachas that govern them. The question is whether a certain food or a certain item, a food or a beverage, may be a little bit a fine line. We usually think a solid food, that's a food. A drink that pours, that's a beverage. Not necessarily. The Gemara says that if you have a fruit and you squeeze the fruit and that juice goes directly into a food, it never collects by itself. It goes directly onto the food. The Gemara calls it a mash kabbalas of ochel, and according to many Tanoim, that juice, that liquid, that quote unquote beverage, is not a mash kin halacha. It's an ochel in halacha. It's subject to the rules of tumas ochel, not to the different set of rules of tumas mashkin. Because any drink that's never really going to collect by itself, but the whole goal is to enhance another food, is automatically treated like food. So the Gemara borrows that principle in tumah and plugs it into chashavos as well. The Gemara says that obviously you're allowed to take an apple and cut an apple in half. That's not a shenanigans. Cut a banana. It's only called chita when you're mafrid mashke from an ochel, when you're extracting a liquid from a salad. That's the malacha of schitas peiros. The Gemara says that if you're extracting that liquid and the liquid never collecting, it's going directly onto a food, so then you never really extracted a halachic liquid from a salad. You just took a knife and cut a salad in half. Even though it looks physically like a liquid, halachically it's considered to be a food, it's a salad, and that's called an ochel of ifras, and that would be okay. That's like cutting an apple in half. So it's a machlekes atanoi, machlekes amaroi about that. How do we paskin lalacha? So the simple pshat of the Gemara is that that's okay. The simple paskin of the Gemara is that it's permissible. But some of the Rishonim throw a curveball at us and say that not so fast, that back to the sugya of squeezing the pickles, there are some Rishonim that say that it may appear that the final word of the Gemara, the achari, close to call, is that maybe we saw it with the machmir. So it's not clear what the din is. So the overwhelming majority of the Rishonim are making, and paskin straight out that mashma close to call is mukhtar, and therefore according to them, you can mamish take a grape, take an olive, squeeze it directly onto a piece of fruit, and that's perfectly okay, nothing wrong with that at all. And there's one dissenting view in Rishon, that's the view of Rabbeinu Chananel. Rabbeinu Chananel has a shtickle Torah, what he learns from Maskenes HaGemara, that we actually reject that svar entirely. How do we paskin l'alacha? So the Shulchan Aruch quotes both opinions. The Shulchan Aruch quotes the first opinion as the stam opinion, that it's probably okay. But Rabbeinu Chananel, Paul, he just makes reference, makes note of the fact that Rabbeinu Chananel disagrees. So how do we practice on this? So the Mishnah Berurah quotes this idea from the Chayyad, and the Chayyad can say, that if we're dealing with a schit that's only Darabon anyway, the whole schit is Darabon anyway, Mishkafel, Darabon, you can rely on Rav HaRishon. But if we would have a question of a schit of Yerais on our hands, so then it would be more correct to be Cheshesh for the Das Yochid of Rabbeinu Chananel. We don't take a chance of Shabbos at Yeraisa. So we would be Machmir like Rabbeinu Chananel by schit of Yeraisa. So now the question becomes, so what does that mean? So how does that translate for us? So if you went along with the old style definitions of Peiros, that if it's not Zeis of Yanovim, so then it's not a Deraisa. that unless you're squeezing grapes and olives, so then you have a home free, you can rely on the opinion that as long as it's going to a food, it's okay. But once we just get finished telling you that the chayyim says this and the chazan says this, and oranges may be raisa, this may be deraisa, and yet deraisa, everything's now chashash and deraisa, then maybe the whole kula of mashkid also chaycha may just fall by the wayside. So the only time that we really truly rely on the mashkid also chaycha, which is the only time that's really relevant, most of us is about lemons. So the vinegar oilam is to be makel, that one is allowed to squeeze lemons onto an oichel. That's okay. A mashkid also chaycha is why are we so lenient when it comes to lemons? Because quite frankly, we're not even sure that squeezing lemons is also in the first place. Because the Rosh said it was mutter, the Shulchan Aruch said it was mutter. Beisosif wasn't sure how it plays out today. We're not really sure what to do. So the minute is we never ever would squeeze a lemon directly into a cup, but to squeeze a lemon into a food, so that we would have a right to be made. So the most important case, most of us are not squeezing oranges into foods, we're not squeezing grapes and olives into it. The only things that our wives really want to squeeze into foods are lemons anyway, so we have a right to be made. So what does that mean practically for us? Let's say first that's a piece of fish. Shabbos, you want to squeeze some lemon directly onto the fish, that's okay. If you squeeze the lemon onto the plate and you put it into a cup, into a bowl, something like that, so that's a very, very serious problem. But if you squeeze it directly onto the fish, that's okay. So let's say you want to squeeze the lemon. When I say squeezing lemon, I mean real lemons. Some kids never swallow real lemons. That means like pink that rolls. Doesn't have a plastic coating to it. It's a real lemon. So if you want to have a plastic, coated lemon, that's okay. But if a real bona fide lemon and you want to squeeze directly onto the food, so that's okay. Now let's say you want to squeeze directly onto a salad, that would be okay as well. Now you have the major, major issue in terms of squeezing the lemons, and that's the issue of squeezing the lemon into the tea. The person wants to take the lemon and squeeze directly into the tea. So he says, great, I'm not squeezing into an empty cup, I'm squeezing into a cup of tea, it should be great. That's a disaster. That's not a mashke bolsech, that's a mashke bolsech mashke, which is the worst possible case you could do. That is for sure mashke. So there's no question that if you hold that squeezing lemons is also, which is what our practice is, that one cannot squeeze lemons directly into a cup of tea. So a person goes up with the following cup. Oh, I'm not going to squeeze it into the tea. I'm going to squeeze it into the sugar. What am I going to do? So I'm going to take a spoonful of sugar, which is an echel, and I'm going to squeeze the lemon directly onto the sugar. And then not only then am I going to put the sugar and the lemon mixed into the cup of tea. Yeah, we're not talking about bishul right now. That's way, way down the line. We're making tea around the gate. So that's what we're just doing with sneaker. So there are many posts who are permitted that if tachlis, if you're squeezing the lemon directly onto the spoonful of sugar, so then that's okay. It's a mashke b'lasech ochel. That's fine. Whatever you want to do in the afterwards, because they. So the Chazon Ish didn't approve of that either. The Chazon Ish said no. He says that's a game. That's a joke. Why? Because the sugar is never going to be. If you really want to have a spoonful of sugar, and you want to have a little, tangy, tasty, a spoonful of sugar, that's fine. So we should do that today, breath also. But your goal is to take that spoonful of sugar with the lemon mixed in, and then put it into the tea. So it says, so that's not a mashke bolosach ochel. That's kind of called the new phrase. That's a mashke bolosach ochel habolosach mashke. It means it's coming right at the end of the day. What really matters is soch masa. Where's the final destination of this lemon juice? So the final destination is in a cup of tea. Final destination is not in a spoonful of sugar. And therefore, it's not likely considered to be a mashke bolosach ochel. It's a mashke bolosach mashke. That's like squeezing lemons directly into a cup of tea. And that would be a problem. So again, the feeling is 90 for those people who really come to the design of lemon juice on Shabbos, use the plastic kind, use the ones that they're not real lemons.
How about putting a slice on the side of the cup and letting the juice?
Oh, okay, oh, that's a whole nother ballgame. That's called mashkin shazahu. That's called what's the deal if you have a fruit and the fruit is oozing out by itself. So how is that impacted? So that's a whole nother ballgame. We're going to get to that, hopefully. So we have a lot of work still to do in this circuit. And this said your intention matters for me. At the end of the day, that's what you want to do. So, not really. The guy, if the says in Shavuos, sometimes it's hard to know when the Shas Aver is. Like the says in Afkamina, the guy started to do Aver, then he died in the middle, and then the Aver was done. Afkamina, whether he needs Kafar or not. So, at the end of the day, the guy's going to put the, if he eats the sugar with the lemon juice, that's okay. But at the end of the day, he puts it into the tasting. Lime milk, so that's all because of farce. again, there are different opinions about this, but the Karon, we are kind of accepting the kula of Mashkevos of Eil Dami. We are weary to apply it by other things which are real derisas. At the end of the day, it's not so relevant. Most of us are not squeezing grapefruits and olives onto our food anyway. Though most of the shiles revolve around the lemon juice, and since lemons anyway are not as bad as we thought they were, so then we probably have a right to be a little bit more meaty. But again, the nuance and the details of the Chazmish and others, how exactly to find the ultimate answer for next year. So we have to find through a little bit more this school of Mashkevos.
I was in a shooting faith, so he took olive oil and